Well, I bet the burger's pretty good from here.
In this small town, the pace is slower. The people are friendlier.
Hey, Stevie, another delivery.
Hey there, Mr. Sutter.
And everyone eats family style.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What's in your burgers?
100% beef.
It's local. We're famous for using organic.
Blake, calm down.
Calm down, dude. A ground beef patty attacked my face.
We should just let the authorities deal with these zombies.
I'm confused.
Does a zombie mean dead?
Sometimes when people get infected, somehow die and then become undead.
And if you're undead, you're a zombie.
But what's left over won't fit in a doggy bag. You'll need a body bag. Billy Zane.
That'll work.
The Mad.
Does anyone have any more comments or questions on the subject of zombies?
Hey, everybody. Gregory Conley here with another edition of the Your Video Store Shelf podcast here at yourvideostoreshelf.com. Joining us on the show today is the director, writer, and producer of the new zombie comedy, The Mad, which stars Billy Zane and is out through Genius Entertainment this coming Tuesday, May 22nd. Johnny Calangas, and I forgot to ask you how to pronounce your last name.
So you got it pretty close.
Pretty close? What is it?
Yeah, it's Calangas.
Calangas, there we go. I had to pause in there. But yeah. Johnny Calangas, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, thank you.
Glad to hear it.
You know what, I just want to actually, just to sort of correct this a little. I think that on the Internet Movie Database, it does say that I'm a producer of the film. I'm not actually officially a producer of The Mad.
You just worked
sort of
like...
Say that. I was the director and one of the writers, and there was two other ones.
Well, IMDb has screwed me up several times on this show, so I think the audience is used to me corrected by now.
Well, that's okay. I just wanted to make sure for the record that it was clear that I wasn't, and I don't know how they got it in their heads that I was. Somebody must have inputted it that way. I have no idea.
Well, now that we've got the formalities out of the way and
sure.
You've been introduced, what's the plot of The Mad? What are we in for?
Essentially, The Mad is a comedy. It's a horror comedy that you have a tainted meat kind of situation where there's a local farmer who is feeding his cows some questionable stuff that's been cleared by the U.S. government, so it seems that it's supposed to be fine. And he grinds it up, he delivers it to a truck stop, and from there, the burgers that are being sold trigger a sort of an epidemic. So people are referring to it as a zombie film, but there's some question in there because, and that actually comes up in the film, and there's a conversation I really like in the picture about that particular issue. But I would say that these people become the Mad, and they start storming around and causing trouble the way zombies would.
And I guess it's kind of like how the makers of the 28-week series, or in 28 days, they've always kind of said, not zombies, the infected.
Yeah, it is weird because, I didn't generate the beginning of the script. It was given to me because I was sort of lucky to get a chance to direct one of the Peace Arch. The company was making a series of pictures last year, and I was lucky to get a job directing one of them. And they gave me the script of The Mad, and they said it's a zombie film, and I read it, and I thought, oh, this is one of those weird things, because in the same way that 28 Days Later had its whole controversy, and I was caught up in all sorts of conversations about that one, I started wondering, are we really talking about zombies? And that's where ultimately the conversation that I'm talking about that is in the film came from, because we started sort of rewriting the script accordingly to kind of make it sort of work a bit more like a comedy, and ultimately it is as well a sort of father-daughter story, and that at the heart of it is this relationship between Billy Zane's character and his daughter, who's played by Maggie Castle.
And as things tend to go in this industry, lo and behold, your zombie comedy with the father-daughter story, the cover art makes it look like you're going to be seeing a hardcore zombie flick.
Yeah, I have to say that there's it's strange the kinds of decisions that are made. I mean, of course, I had absolutely no say in what the DVD cover was. Peace Arch had made a great, what I thought was a great piece of artwork that you can see on and on our MySpace page, which is the Mad Movie on MySpace, and it's got a Billy's face, and it's got, I think that would have been a more appropriate cover personally. I think it gives you the sense that you're watching kind of a B movie. And that aesthetic, I think, really lends, like, comments on the film properly. So, yeah, I'm not exactly sure why it looks like a hardcore zombie film. I guess it might be a sales issue.
That's pretty much it. I wrote about on our site a while back about how Peace Arch was, with their relationship with Genius Entertainment, every film was kind of coming out the same way, where you had the one star, whether it be Michael Madsen or Billy Zane or Ron Perlman, but their name is just at the top, and then the photoshopped cover art to make it seem scary or whatnot, that's the front runner. And so hopefully, I guess, if they're continuing it, then it works, and more people will check out the Mad as a result.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that they don't check it out thinking that it's one kind of film and then discover that it's another, because I think at the heart of it, it's a comedy. And if somebody sort of goes in thinking it's going to be a real blood and guts zombie pick, I hope they're not disappointed. I hope we can get them to laugh and sort of realize that we've changed gears a little bit. I don't think it takes too long to figure it out, but there, you know, I mean, there are going to be people who don't respond to the film because they think they're getting themselves into one thing. I haven't seen the actual official release, so I don't know if the blurb on the back or any of the stills they have on the back somehow qualify the actual content of the film. So at least if someone picks it up and reads the back, they go, oh, I'm looking at a comedy.
Yeah, hopefully. But at the front of your comedy, you've got a good man to be there. Good old Billy Zane, who I became an instant fan of about 12 years ago or so with Tales of the Crypt, Demon Knight.
Oh, yeah.
Or From the Crypt.
Yeah, I mean, I was thrilled to hear that we were going to have Billy. I mean, at first, the script didn't really, like, Billy didn't seem like an obvious choice for that film, and that was actually a great call by Peace Arch, because they contacted me, and we'd been thinking that that character was a little bit older, and he had a, you know, sort of another kind of style. We'd been throwing around a bunch of different names, and then they said, well, what about Billy Zane? And I thought, well, that's great, because I am a Billy Zane fan, and I have been since, I think the first picture that I saw him in was a movie called Orlando. And that's like, gotta be late 80s maybe, early 90s maybe, and Dead Calm, like that's right around the same time. So so we started rewriting the character based on the fact that Zane and I are roughly the same age, and I started thinking, well, if this guy was, you know, if I was this guy, then what would my background be? And this is how his look came from. He brought the glasses into the picture, which you might have seen some of the stills from it, and we sort of talked about him being a throwback 80s guy. And a lot of the sort of comedy and the shape of the film and especially the music and all sorts of things come from that. So we have a lot of fun, and I've been happy to read some of the criticism on the film where some people are really getting that, and they're going, this really throws me back to those 80s B-movies that I really grew up loving. And I'm just like, that's great, because that's where I come from.
And so was it the 80s B-movies that were kind of serving as the inspiration for the Mad?
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, I started off by going back in time and watching a bunch of, you know, sort of older zombie movies and really associating myself with a genre that I'd sort of, my phone just went crazy. I hadn't been watching them a lot in the last few years. And I started watching some more films that I was a fan of, and I watched the Argento movies. And, when I saw Suspiria again, I saw Jessica Harper, and it started making me think of things like Phantom of the Paradise, and then I started thinking of Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I started thinking about these other B-movies of that genre that sort of walk this really interesting line. And I started sort of shaping it from there, and I thought, and then the 80s thing just sort of fell naturally into place, because I thought if this guy was going to be having, I mean, ultimately at the heart of any of these films, I think that there's a lot of fun in exploring the dilemma of a character and what he has to sort of come to terms with. And in this case, it's his relationship with his daughter, and he has to face some of his own things. We did this all really in a fun way. And so the 80s thing just sort of, again, yeah, it just really lent itself to what we were trying to do. It just felt like a natural extension, and all our sensibilities seemed to keep feeding it.
And what did Billy Zane bring to the role aside from the glasses?
Well, I mean, he brought so much to it. I love, when you're working with a name like Billy, you really want him to come. I mean, as a director, he's going to set the pace. Like, I need him to come ready to work, you know, and ready to sort of really think it through. And he was so on it. It started because we'd had a conversation on the phone prior to him signing on, because we'd both sort of read an earlier draft of the script, and we weren't exactly sure what direction to take it in. And the PSearch guy said, well, Billy's going to give you a call. He hasn't signed on yet, but he wants to know what you want to try and do with it. And I was telling them I'm thinking more we're going into comedy land, because I don't know, based on the budget and a few other sort of conditions of the making of the film, that you could really make a really scary zombie film. So I started sort of questioning it and pushing it in another direction, which was great, because when Billy and I got on the phone, we started jamming right away, and he had some ideas based on what he thought, where he thought the script could go, and I told him that I was thinking, you know, in some cases we were saying the exact same thing, which was a great way to hit it off. And he had always wanted to do comedy, like really do some comedy, because he comes from his background in Chicago, and he'd been doing work with a bunch of guys like Jack Black and Ben Stiller and these guys who've been, you know, sort of had the opportunity to do a bunch of comedy, and he hasn't really been given the chance. So I told him that we're going to put your chops to the test, and let's sort of start really pushing this in another direction. Not lose sight of the things that we think need to happen. I mean, we don't just want to go straight for laughs, but so when he showed up, the day that he came into town, and I met him at the hotel, and we had some wardrobe stuff to take care of, instantly, as soon as he sort of put on the clothes that we'd sort of pulled and we started talking about it, and he came in with the glasses. Actually, he delayed that meeting because he was at the optometrist saying, I had an idea when I was on the plane. And then we ended up going shopping. So we threw out all the wardrobe that we had pre-selected for him. So the minute he got these glasses on and we started talking about this 80s thing and we started really considering what that meant, we ended up leaving that hotel. It was in downtown Toronto, and we just went to Queen Street, which is the sort of famous kind of shopping clothing area, or it has been in the past anyway. Now, I think some people might say it's changed too much, but it's the place to go and buy, you know, the 80s punky clothing or new wave kind of clothes and stuff like that. So we went for a walk, and we started shopping and talking about, you know, sort of who this guy really was, and we started going into stores, and he ended up suiting him up with a pair of classic black Converse high tops and a black shirt with a thin white tie, and he starts looking more like an 80s pop star, because we had this conversation about how he might have been a guy who had been in a band in the 80s and what that might have meant to him, and now he's sort of changed over, and he's a doctor. So a lot of the evolution of the character came from conversations with Billy and I, and this was all continuous over the course of the whole film. So I love it. He came ready to work, and he really put everything he could into it. It was really a lot of fun.
Well, I know that Billy is a big fan of the wardrobe matching the character, because I just remember Gorman Bacard, who's a director who's done quite a few films. He cast Billy in a small part in a film he did called The Kiss. And all I remember Gorman, I think it was in the form of a complaint that when Billy came to the set, he had a hat that he insisted on wearing.
That is kind of classic Billy. I mean, some actors really work that way, like from the outside in, you know, and they start sort of playing with props and wardrobe to sort of get them to where they think they have to go. I mean, I've seen it lots of times. Not everybody does it that way. But I like the fact that he's got a method, and it gives me as a director a real opportunity to speak with him in a way that gets him where he's got to go quickly.
And you're directing now, but you did have some years, at least according to the IMDb, where you were on the other side of things as an actor.
Yeah, I've been an actor, I was an actor sort of in a former life, I guess. I did a lot of theater here in Canada, and I've been in a few films. I mean, the one sort of movie where people can get a look at me from all over is in Big Fat Greek Wedding, where I'm really just in it for a couple of seconds. But I have this huge close-up on this school teacher in the past, and I got the part because I could speak Greek. At the time, I'd sort of read for a few other roles. They were all little bit parts, and then they said, well, can you speak Greek? Because we need a Greek teacher. So that's me in 70s gear with big glasses on and looking really silly. For the most part, I did a lot of acting, and I started directing. I started adding directing to it and doing theater and stuff. Where do I start? Maybe in the late 80s, early 90s, and then I've, the Mad's my third third picture as a director. I think it really matters for me anyway, to direct performance. It really helps that I've been there and I understand what actors are really, what kind of work actors are trying to do for the most part. I have to say, I'm happy that most of the actors that I work with aren't upset about our approach at all. They like talking with me about it, and we generally get along well, and I like the work that I get out of the people.
I tend to find that actors are crazy, and as a result, I restrict this show to filmmakers.
Right. Well, then, does that mean it's time for me to excuse myself?
Oh, I'll give you a pass.
You'll give you a pass, because I don't know if I'll ever act again, I'll be quite honest with you. It's not on the plate right now. I'm sort of more interested in writing and directing.
And with that, your second film, Love is Work, which is about as far away from the mat as one can go. Right now, did you say that you are chopping that around Canadian theaters?
Well, it's about to be released in Canada theatrically. And it's a small picture that managed to do well in festivals, mostly in Canada, but it did play in Europe and it did play in California as well. And we were lucky, actually, because at our U.S. premiere, which was at a festival called the Method Fest, which is really an actor-centric festival in California, Paul Haggis, you know, of, well, Oscar, many, multiple Oscar fame, became aware of the film, and he came in and actually introduced it for us, which was great because he was a big fan of the picture. So the film has managed to get a lot more attention than I ever thought it would, because it's a very actor-centric, little intimate kind of piece. But it is going to play in theaters in Canada starting in Toronto on June the 8th, and then we have websites for it, and I think we're going to make it available for download. We're in discussions now with various distributors, so I'm hoping that it does pop up on DVD in the United States and hopefully on broadcast. It never dawned on me really that the film was ever going to be a theatrical picture, so it's really exciting for me to even have it run for a week or two. I think it's going to be in six major markets in Canada.
It looks like an interesting flick. You got some nice cover art to promote the film. So what is Love is Work about?
Well, quite literally, it is the idea that love is work. So there's five couples that are in various stages of their relationships, and they're trying to work through their dilemmas. And so I'm sort of basing it on experiences that I think most people, once you've been in a relationship or two, you start really having. And I sort of equate it with this like overnight kind of conversation that you know you thought everything was going fine, and all of a sudden one of the two people in the relationship goes, wait a minute, we have to talk about something. And then you have this marathon sort of situation between the two of you, and you sort of hate each other, you love each other, you might be drinking a bit, and then you end up sort of, if you get through that, those kinds of moments in your relationships, then often you stay together or you're stronger for it. But they also are the points where people actually end up breaking up. So in this, though, it breaks down into sort of various themes that I'm exploring, like love and sex and money and love and death, and there's a few other ones. And so people have to kind of work through what it means to have the stakes raised in your relationships to a certain place. And it's all fairly self-contained. It's a really interesting film, and I'm really happy with the performances in it as well. And that's a really important thing to me, is that the relationships and the performances between the characters and the actors and everything work well. I think that at the heart of all good films, that's got to be one of the most important things.
That sounds true. Are there any other elements that you believe very strongly to be part of a great film?
Well, I think that pace is really important, and so I think that, you know, with the MAD, we were trying to sort of move straight ahead. The MAD's interesting because it sort of falls into a couple of categories, the way that the film breaks down. There's the last third of the MAD is we sort of depart from a zombie film straight up, and the threat of the zombie sort of disappears, and it becomes kind of about something else, I think, a little bit. And so I'm interested to see how people are going to react to it. For the most part, people have been reacting well to that switch, but, I mean, there are going to be people who don't necessarily like it that way. So it's part of the exploration. I think so when I say pace, I also mean the details really matter. Like, in the MAD, we were very careful, and I don't expect people to necessarily notice these kinds of things, but I think they always work on people, is that there is a relationship between a father and daughter, and that's at the heart of it. And then there are sort of other relationships throughout the film that are different shades of that same relationship. There's the farmer and his son, and that's an important relationship. And then there's two people who work at the truck stop where all this kind of goes down, and it's a father and a stepdaughter. And then there's the Zane character's daughter and her stepmother. And so all these kind of things are actually, they're sort of carefully interwoven to kind of make sure that they all, at least to some extent, work. And that the theme of the film, this idea that the beef is tainted and what that means, is actually fully realized throughout all the action, so that even the way people die and how things unravel is actually, you know, we tried our best to sort of think it through to sort of make sure that it supported a general theme, which I am not sure how to articulate the general theme. I could say you are what you eat, but I'm not sure if that's exact. I don't know if that's exactly it. You better watch what you eat. So I think that those things matter, because I think when people hold up films, even if they're not necessarily doing it consciously, they're having a good time with a movie, it's usually because all those things make sense within the reality of the film itself. Because the mat is stylized and it's comic. So there are certain things about it that they're not going to feel that much like real life. And I don't think they should.
No, definitely when you have zombies coming to life thanks to tainted meat, I think you're given some permission to skew reality.
I think that it's just important. I guess what I'm trying to say through all that babbling is that it's important that the world of the film is thorough, and that the rules of that film are defined and that they're thoroughly realized. So. It's like cartoons. It's like anything you watch. It's not necessarily believable, but it has to be believable within its own context.
Yeah, there's a difference between manipulating reality and insulting your audience blatantly.
Exactly. And I don't like it when I see things that stick out too much comedy, listen, the most important thing with comedy is that you're laughing. If you're not laughing, it's not working, no matter how well thought out it is and how intricately structured it is. So you have to be aware of that when you're making a comedy, that you don't think about things too hard sometimes, but you can't just go for laughs, because then you sort of, you know, ruin the film or the piece another way. I mean, that's one of the great things about Zane and actually the whole cast, is that their comic sensibilities were really, I think, really bang on. And Billy brought a lot of jokes to the table that some of them we kept and some of them we lost, but the fact that he was free to sort of say, what if we did this? Because that's how comedy sort of works, is that you have to really try and try a bunch of different stuff and see what sticks and what doesn't, and hopefully we chose the stuff that sticks.
Hopefully. So before we head out, let's get the final plugs out there for both The Mad and Love Is Work.
The Mad is going to come out on May 22nd on DVD across the United States, and I think in Canada as well, although now they told me that there's a date might change. So please check it out. Please don't necessarily base it on that cover, because there might be there is something a little more to it than that. So hopefully you won't be disappointed if you think that that's a terrible plug. Should I try that again?
I don't think they'll be disappointed. I think the listeners of this show
they get it.
Are in tune with the reality of things.
Well, thanks. That's awesome for you to say. And Love Is Work, we're hoping to release it online. We have a MySpace page for that. It's Love Is Work Movie on MySpace. And check it out. And there's a clip there. It's not really necessarily a trailer, but it's a clip, and it gives you a sense of how that picture works a little bit. And that's going to be coming out in Canada in theaters the beginning of June.
So myspace.com/themadmovie, which we'll have a link up to, and myspace.com/loveiswork movie.
Yes.
You can go there.
And the Mad Movie MySpace has a trailer on it, and I'm putting up some pieces of some of the criticism that we've had so far. The ones that we like, or the ones that we think are fair, anyway. And Gore Zone, as well, the UK, famous UK magazine, horror magazine, we're going to be on the cover in June, so that's something to keep an eye out for as well.
And aren't you, isn't the film being shown a few wacky festivals along the way as well?
Yeah, that's right, actually. The Mad had its world premiere in Toronto at a festival called the Canadian Filmmakers Festival, and we did really well, actually. That was one where we were in, there's a famous theater in Toronto called The Varsity, and there's one really huge theater in there. We weren't scheduled to play in there. We had a smaller theater that got sold out, and the demand was so high that they actually moved us to the biggest theater, and we almost sold that one out too. So we're looking at, I mean, that theater is probably about 500 seats or so. So I think we had about four and change come out, and the audience seemed to really like the film. So that was a good start. This month, at the end of May, May 29th, I think it is, we're part of the Splatter Container double feature at a festival called Fear Fest, which is in Italy. And you can link to that off the MySpace Mad page. If you're anywhere near the near Italy and you want to check it out, it looks like it's going to be a great night. We've been approached by these guys called the Panther Horror Show, and it's out of Texas. And this is perfect place for a movie like The Mad, I think, where they screen the film and they have a band playing after. I think they've got a metal band planned, sort of a gothy metal band planned. And they have and they sell beers, and it's just like a great party where they screen a film. I mean, I think that that's a really good pocket for a film like this to sit in.
Awesome. So
yeah,
if you
really
are,
I wish I could go to that one in Texas. I would love to go. I think that sounds like that would be just a great party.
If you just so happen to stumble into Italy or Texas, check out the screenings of The Mad. And if you're not afforded that opportunity, well, this Tuesday, it's out on DVD, so you can rent or buy it whenever you get the chance. Johnny, I want to thank you for doing the show.
Hey, thank you so much. It's really been great.
No problem. And check out yourvideostoreshelf.com for the next podcast in the coming days. And while you're at it, check out The Mad. John, once again, thanks, and we will talk to you later. See ya.